Where do you find your peace? Are you at peace? Are you really at peace? Or is your mind filled with all manner of worries and concerns? Is that pain that we fear may break us? That relationship that's broken? That person that we just don't understand? That storm that threatens to drown us? This is a chaotic and complex world, and we may be worried and anxious and upset over many things. Where do you find your peace? How can you keep life simple in this complex world? For some people, they sit quietly with God, sit in the great outdoors, rest in his presence. For others, they can be quite busy, can be in the garden or painting a picture or doing what they love whilst at the same time giving their thoughts and contemplations to the Lord. We can find peace in different ways, but always in God's presence. Now in today's reading, Jesus interacts with two sisters who appear to be very different from one another. One is very busy in the kitchen whilst the other sits at Jesus' feet. One sits quietly and listens intently to his teaching whilst the other rushes around getting more and more frustrated. And in our simplicity, Mary is often applauded whilst Martha reprimanded. We've tended to see this passage as a contrast between doing and being. Doing the works of the Lord and serving one another, or being in God's presence, sitting at Jesus' feet. As though one is better than the other, sometimes people see Martha as practical and Mary as spiritual. And since Jesus favours Mary, they think spiritual must trump practical every time. But is it that simple? Is this passage that simple? I'm going to suggest this morning that it's not about being versus doing at all. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we again thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you speak through your word and your spirit. As we sit with you, with your spirit, in your word this morning, we pray that you would guide us and lead us, that you would remind us of the things that are important, the things that are valuable. You would remind us of your way. And that as a result, we would have peace in our hearts. And so we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Luke records it, Jesus has just given the teaching on the Good Samaritan, just prior to these words. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus declares that a foreigner, an outsider, is the hero. That the unexpected one was the true neighbour, thereby adhering to the law of the Lord. The outsider is the hero in the story. Well, in this story, Martha and Mary, Jesus once again teaches that the outsider, and in this case, a young female student, is the one closest to God's kingdom. God is often leading the foreigner, the stranger, the orphan, disregarded, overlooked toward himself. He's often working with the left out and the leftovers. Are we prepared to notice, pray for, get our hands dirty, as we ask God to move us into compassion, to work with the stranger, the orphan, the disregarded, the overlooked, the left out? Are we prepared to wreck our roof of comfort and convenience to step into somebody else's mess? Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, Martha must have been the oldest of the siblings. Lazarus isn't even mentioned at all in this story. Martha owned the home. She had a younger sister and a younger brother, Mary and Lazarus. But Martha opens her home to Jesus and to his band of followers. She opens her home, she opens her heart. She didn't stop to consider the inconvenience or the workload or the mess, but opens her home. And hospitality was and is very important in the Middle East, in Eastern culture. It was considered rude, inappropriate, if you didn't attend to anyone who came to your door. That's why the neighbour in the middle of the night gets up to give bread to his neighbour who comes, "I need help." He gets up to give him what he needs. Culturally, Martha is doing the right thing. Culturally, Martha is doing a very good thing. But Martha goes beyond cultural expectation because she actually invites Jesus into her home and then set about preparing a meal for he and his band of followers. Now, as we continue to read the Gospels, we see that her home was always open to Jesus. I trust that you keep your home open to the Lord and to his people. Practice hospitality without grumbling, as Paul says. That Jesus could walk in at any time into your place and you'd feel comfortable with that. Or would you want to quickly hide a few things? So according to the culture, Martha is doing not only the right thing, but a good thing. Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Mary, as opposed to Martha, was not doing the right thing culturally. According to the culture, Mary is not doing the right thing. There at Jesus' feet, she's carrying out the role of a disciple, a follower, a student, and a role of a male. To sit at the feet of a rabbi was a decidedly male position. How dare she assume such an inappropriate privilege? In a day when women only learnt from the father or the husband, always in the privacy of their homes, she sat at Jesus' feet. And Jesus allows her to do so. In fact, Jesus is also counter-cultural here in permitting and even reinforcing Mary to be a student. He doesn't ask her to leave the room. Nor does he ask that of any woman who might seek to be his follower. Jesus continues to teach as if this is the most natural thing in the world. There was no gender boundaries of culture that Jesus adhered to. But notice too that this is not from any sense of pride. For nowhere does Jesus suggest that people need to listen to his teaching because he knows what he's talking about. He's the one with all the wisdom. They need to listen to him. Nowhere does Jesus ever suggest that. He doesn't promote himself. He doesn't ask people to come and pay the conference fee and purchase his merchandise. He doesn't suggest that Mary should sit at his feet and learn from him because he's got something to teach her. He always invites people to come freely, to come and find rest. So there's a lot going on here that doesn't fit the culture of the day. Now, I'm sure that the sisters loved one another, but when Martha's expectations of Mary are not met, she expresses her frustration. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." For Martha, her priority was upon the meal that needed to be prepared, that needed to be provided. She couldn't just duck down to Super Rooster and get enough takeaway for everyone. She couldn't just make a phone call to Domino's and get a whole stack of pizzas brought in. There's so much to do, and she's becoming increasingly annoyed that Mary wasn't helping her. All the work was being left to her, and it's not fair. And so she interrupts Jesus midstream in his teaching. And by the way, that was not culturally acceptable either. How dare a woman interrupt a rabbi teaching his pupils, his students? But she asks him to direct Mary to come and assist her. Tell her to come and help me. Haven't we all been there? You mightn't think that you'd tell Jesus what to do, but we do it all the time. Lord, can you get someone to help me? Can you heal my friend? Will you take away my troubles? Will you fix my problem? Haven't we all been there? We don't think it fair that the work is left to us and we demand that somebody help us out. We become annoyed, frustrated, aggravated, angry. We're expected to carry the bag. And the longer it goes on, the more we're prone to worry. We become anxious that we'll not be able to fulfill the job. And we become more and more upset. You sense what's going on here for Martha? But she does what we mostly do. She went to the one who could tell Mary to help her sister. We often go to someone. In fact, we'll go to anyone whom we might think has a stronger voice than ours to get what we want. We want them to be our messenger. We have an issue with someone, and so we go to the boss. We go to the principal. We go to the doctor. We go to the pastor. We go to the council. We'll go to anyone with a stronger voice than ours. Rather than go to the person that we have an issue with ourselves, we want somebody else to speak up for us on our behalf and get what we want. Jesus taught us in Matthew 18 to go to our brother or sister privately at first and ask, and after that to seek eldership involvement if not resolved. Jesus also said that if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. The onus is on us to first try to be reconciled with one another before seeking anybody else's intervention. We're supposed to try and sort this out first ourselves. So imagine if Martha had quietly snuck in to the room, into the meeting, sidled up to Mary and whispered in her ear, "Hey Mary, can you please come out to the kitchen and give me a hand?" My guess is that Mary would have responded positively and said, "Oh, sorry, sis. Yeah, I should have been there. I should be out there." But consider Mary's response had Jesus told her to go and help Martha. If Jesus, "Mary, go out and help your sister." Imagine the response. She'd be upset, she'd be cross with her sister for taking her away from Jesus and for making a public spectacle of her inappropriate cultural behaviour. She'd not only be upset with Martha, she'd be upset with Jesus. "You told me to get out there and help her." She wouldn't be feeling too positive about anything. This is why Jesus responds the way he does. "Fiona, Fiona," the Lord answers. Sorry. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha was worried, she was upset, she was frustrated, she's getting angry. Mary was peaceful, contemplative, teachable. She's not worried and upset at all. And he is not about to take that away from her. That's what this passage is about. Martha, on the other hand, was consumed by the task that was before her. Now, we've all had things, times when we have things that just have to be done. There are things that we have to do. We have a task at hand that needs to be accomplished. However, our doing needs to be grounded in our being. The Lord is less concerned about what we do, but rather the attitude from which we do it. If Martha was serving out of love, then she may not have been worried and upset. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And had Jesus asked Mary to go out and help her sister, the same applies. If she was to do it out of love, she wouldn't be upset and worried. And so please notice that Jesus doesn't draw a distinction between doing and being. He doesn't applaud contemplation over action. He doesn't suggest that Martha is doing the right thing or that Mary is doing the wrong thing or vice versa. He doesn't suggest those things. Passage is less about doing versus being than it is about this. Where you focus should allow you to remain in a place of peace, trusting in the Lord. Regardless of whether you are doing or being, are you at peace? And as Christians, both doing and being are necessary. We learn at Jesus' feet and we live it out in our actions. Our doing must be grounded in our being. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. He's not saying here that Mary has chosen to sit at his feet and that's the better thing to do rather than being busy in the kitchen. This is all about internalized attitudes and not allowing the emotions of worry and anger to control our thinking. He says, Mary has chosen the better way, and that has left her at peace. And Jesus is not so concerned about what Martha and Mary may be doing or not doing, but rather what is it that their focus is on and that their heart is at peace as a result. And he's not going to take that from Mary. He's not going to take her peace from her. So where do you find your peace? Are you really at peace? Or are the many things of Martha's world distracting you from the one thing of Mary's? Is it time to reprogram our thinking, reprioritize, make life less complicated and bring it back to the simple trust in Jesus? A couple of weeks ago, I shared this quote with the folk at Share In. And it was a quote that was written on a sign in the farming community in America. Out in the farming area were these words on a sign. Despite all of our accomplishments, we owe our existence to a 6-inch layer of topsoil and the fact that it rains. That's it. Despite all of our accomplishments, we owe our existence to 6 inches of topsoil and the fact that it rains. Along with a little bit of sunshine and oxygen, that's pretty much it. The reality of life on Earth is actually very simple. Why do we make it so complicated? Why do we get so uptight and so upset about so many things? There are many things to be worried about. But what is the one thing that we should truly be concerned about? Where do you find your peace? I'm going to stand and sing together our closing song.